Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Should the use of game snares on public land be restricted in South Dakota? If you're a trapper, you might have one opinion. If you've had to untangle a snare from around the neck of your hunting dog, you might have another. SDPB's Kevin Wooster writes about the topic this week on his blog. It's called On the Other Hand, and you can find it online at sdpb.org/Wooster. Kevin Wooster, welcome back. Thanks for being here.
Well, I'm quite happy to be back in the American sense. Not the British sense.
That was a lot of fun. I'm quite happy to have you back in the American sense as well.
It was fun. And Mary and I are always sitting around and we go, oh, don't you love that accent? Wouldn't you just want to go out on a date with that person, however old they are, no matter what? It's charming.
And now we know a little more about why.
Yeah, is that insecurity? I didn't realize that.
She had a term for that. Yep. No, I put my notes away, but in her book, she has a term for that, and it has an acronym about American inferiority complex. Yeah. All right, so we have a couple things to talk about, and one of them is this conversation with the Game Fish and Parks Commission talking about snares on public land, and this is something that you've had a little unfortunate personal experience with.
Well, I did. And, you know, if you go to a commission meeting, Game Fish and Parks Commission meeting, if you haven't been to one, you should go because you'll get everything from hunting seasons to the limit on bullfrogs. It's 15 a day and 30 in possession, by the way. You can't use firearms. But and all kinds of strange things that will come up beyond the traditional things. And I was just walking around, hadn't been paying attention. They started talking about snares on public land. And, of course, I immediately went back to the Miller area back 25 or 26 years ago. And my wonderful, neurotic, intelligent, meticulous, high self-esteemed Springer Spaniel Pogo, who did not take harsh language or anything else. She was very careful about that. And she ended up in a snare. And I lost her out there. And fortunately, she was a dog that was bright and tended to, when she got in trouble, just kind of stop and say, there's nothing I can do here. So I had to search for her for a while hunting and get kind of frantic out there. And I finally found her on a game trail, a deer trail type thing, where this snare had been set, a wire loop anchored into the ground nearby. She'd been doing her thing and apparently had it perfectly, like the snare setter wanted a coyote to do, I assume, and constricted around her neck, which when it happens to a coyote, they thrash and you know, wild things, and it pretty quickly cuts off their air supply and kills them. And she did not do that, thank heavens. She just laid down and waited for me to find her, which took a while. And I'm not handy, so I had trouble getting it. The snare was very tight. I couldn't get my finger inside between the wire and the neck to do much. So I ended up actually carrying her back to my pickup and finding a pair of pliers and getting the wire cutter part and clipping it. Now, I've since learned that a smarter guy than I could have probably figured out a mechanism on how to release it, but I was kind of panicked at the time and wasn't
never
handled this, and so that's the way I handled it. And she was fine. But that's what they're talking about. It's how to restrict that on public land where you have this potential conflict between users, a trapper, and a pheasant hunter with a dog that in many cases are beloved, in most cases are beloved, and in many cases expensive.
Right.
And that's what they're trying to figure out because they had a couple of incidents apparently in the last year or so with people that reported those. And one of the commissioners, Kathy Peterson from over East River, had an incident where a dog from her farm ran into a snare set on a public right-of-way near her farm. And it got out too. It was fine. But it certainly is an interesting conversation piece if you're a pheasant hunter with a dog.
Right. And smart dog. Really, Pogo?
Yeah, she was a brilliant dog. Desperately neurotic, which my friends would say, well, she's half like you then. and Keith Fisk from the Game Fish and Parks Department, the animal damage specialist there, said that that's not unusual with dogs that are accustomed to leash training and to being on leashes, to having that pressure around the throat, which tells them stop. Thank goodness, in most cases, he said, that's what they do. They don't fight against it, and they sit and wait and hopefully get found. And obviously, if they get found, that works out well. If they don't, you know, who knows what happens. So
So proposals being worked up now, information, public input will be available, and you can read about this at sdpb.org/booster as Kevin dives into it a little more deeply. But I'm wondering, before we let you go, if you might indulge me by sort of following up on something we were talking about with the Dakota Political Junkies yesterday, and that was a poll that was released that had Kristi Noem ahead of Marty Jackley by 11 points, and then the Jackley campaign coming out and saying, yeah, there's some connections between the people who are releasing this poll and the Noem campaign. We think it's not a valuable tool to look at how things are. And I'm wondering if you had perspective on that as far as, you know, at this stage, you know, where are we at in this campaign and how do we start looking at press releases and poll releases such as this?
Look at them all skeptically, but look at them. And obviously with this poll, Kyle Robertson and Justin Brazell, the campaign manager for Kristi Noem, Justin Brazell, who's a very experienced political operative, and they have a relationship, a professional relationship that goes back time, the guy that's put out the poll. So you have to start with that. And you also have to start with the fact that there was a comment in there where, say, you know, it was very firm about Kristi Noem, appears to be doing a great job of communicating her message, and she's up 11, and will Marty have to go negative now? So that's a little suspicious that they put all that in there. On the other hand, you know, she's up by 11%. There hasn't been a lot of polling other than internals, and the Jackley people won't talk about their internals. Most campaigns don't, but they certainly imply that it's a lot closer than that, maybe a dead heat in what the information they're getting. And a recent poll that was basically scientific in February showed Kristi at 40 and Marty at 35, and that was a smaller poll with a margin of error of 6%, so that could have been within the margin of error. This had a 500 people, I think, and a 2.9% margin of error. I wouldn't be shocked that she's up. I assume she's up. My guess would be she's up somewhere around that 5% or maybe up to 10%. I don't know. But I think this is the part of the campaign, and this is when things get serious. And this is the one thing I liked in the poll is 23%, they said, were undecided. So there's the people you're going after. I mean, just because you're up 5 or 8 or 9% or even 10% doesn't mean this is over by any means, especially in a primary where you don't have people locked in like Democrats and Republicans so much going into a general election. There's more movement, and that's a high level of undecided. It's probably a little higher than is really out there, but I think it's like anything. It's a piece of information, and it's valuable. And you look at it. And
does it signify at this point that, you know, that the sort of real campaign or the, you know, that people are getting traction and it's really going to start spinning up? Does it signify something like that as far as how these campaigns are going to start pushing their messages?
If you believe that this is a kind of a slanted poll, you might believe that Kristi Noem feels like it's too close for comfort for a person that's kind of an incumbent, not really, but she's, you know, certainly been around a lot in Congress and the state legislature. Probably went in as the favorite. She was certainly my favorite going in, although Marty Jackley's raised money like crazy and campaigned like crazy and has a real effective campaign network on there right now. You might say, boy, well, this is closer than it should be. We need something to help us. And that might be something you'd do. Or maybe, you know, it's a snapshot in time. Maybe it's legitimate. And maybe they come back with another snapshot in 2 weeks that shows her up by 6 or dead heat.
Right.
But you can't discard it, I don't think.
Right. Okay. Sure. Interesting. Kevin Wooster's blog is sdpb.org/Wooster. And Kevin, I hope you'll, we'll see you next week, but I hope we can continue to talk about that governor's race as well, along with the other great work you're doing on the other hand on the blog.
We're just getting warmed up on the governor's race.
Excellent. Thank you. We're in good hands here on South Dakota Public Broadcasting.